the Human League. Don't You Want Me on BBC Radio Nottingham. 22 minutes past 2 o'clock. Good afternoon, I'm Verity Cowley. Now, the world of photography has changed, hasn't it, really? Since social media making photographers of so many of us. But there's a definite art to doing it properly. And a man who will know about the art of doing it properly is Michael Lau, who is a photographer based here in Nottingham since 2002. And you are celebrating 3 years of teaching people how to take photos properly. Is that right, Michael?
It is. Hi, Verity.
Good. Congratulations, 3 years. Happy birthday,
Thank you very much.
3 years. So how come it's managed to evolve for 3 years then?
Well, I've had a work experience programme with the local schools since we started the studio back in 2002. Mm. And then we were basically teaching kids of 15 years old to use a studio within the space of 5 days. And someone pointed out to me that perhaps I could do this as part of my business. So I started it, and it's taken off from there, really.
Yeah. So where did photography start for you initially?
When I was 14 years old, that's part of it, you see. My brother-in-law when he was courting my sister, gave me an SLR camera for my Christmas present, I believe, and to curry favour with my sister.
Yeah.
And they've been married for umpteen years now, so it must have worked.
Yeah.
And that's when it started for me.
And what was it about taking photographs that just kind of grabbed your attention at the age of 14?
I think, well, I was useless at painting and drawing.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, a technical way of approaching it might be photography, and it just went on from there. I just had no hand-to-eye coordination, so a camera seemed the perfect way to break out into the artistic side of me, if you like.
Yeah. And those photos, have you got some of them from when you were 14? What kind of things were you taking photos
of? Oh, just mundane things, really. I think as many people who start, they just take pictures of what's around. I can remember it was quite a harsh winter that year, and there was icicles hanging from the roof of our house, and I was taking pictures of that and sort of snowy fields and frost and that sort of thing. I can remember that quite distinctly.
Yeah.
So.
Was it the thrill of that that made you realise that actually this is kind of the career for you?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of sort of go into the fashion world. I've always wanted to do that, I think. And so that was the start for me. I think part of the reason why we've got to this stage is because I've been so stubborn, I think, for want of a better
word. Is that
it? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, just want to do it.
And it won't go away?
It won't go away. I don't think it'll ever go away.
So you said fashion then.
Yes.
I mean, what do you mean when you say fashion? What kind of stuff have you been taking photos of?
My sort of bread and butter work is for things like lingerie and sort of commercial fashion and things that people, especially with websites, people are marketing far more on those obviously these days, and that's kind of what we do as such. But occasionally we get really nice projects that get published in the bigger magazines and newspapers, which is always extra special.
Like what kind of magazines?
Well, a big one we did a few years back, I was working for a client, and we had somebody starting a website that was selling things on the same sort of business line as Primark. And
okay.
They picked Shobhna Gulati as the model, who's from Sunita from Coronation Street.
Oh, right, okay.
And there was some clever marketing going on, and the shoot would have cost them in total, including her fees, around the £10,000 mark, but we got published in Double Page Spread in the Sun, The Mirror, Metro, Reveal Magazine, all that sort of thing. I think that amount of advertising would have cost our client in the region of about £150,000.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's basically how it works. So I was fortunate enough to sort of do the pictures and obviously bask in the reflected glory.
That's incredible. To think that the Sun's the biggest selling newspaper, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that was quite a nice thing to be part of.
Yeah.
And we've had some of our clients being published in GQ, UK Vogue, that sort of thing, which is also very nice.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to fashion, you kind of Vogue is definitely the way forward, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So who else have you worked with then? You mentioned then the lady from Coronation Street.
Yeah, Johnny Vegas a few years ago. He was a very interesting character.
What's he like to work with?
Well, this is it. I went with my now wife, who was assisting me back in those days, and we had to go down to London to a private members club called Century. I think it was at that time partly owned by Robbie Williams, Shaftesbury Avenue, and very, very posh and expensive place. I think a glass of Coke was about £5.
Was it one of those places where you walk in and go, I'm not supposed to be here?
Yeah, something like
but
that.
But act cool.
Exactly. And they shunted us from one area to another, and eventually, I think the shoot was supposed to start off at 5 o'clock, and Johnny was 5 minutes late, and he came trundling down the room, and we didn't know what to expect, and he spent the first 5 minutes apologising profusely. He was a really, really nice guy. To say he was a gent is a bit of an understatement. I thought he was going to be like a little bit of a lad, but he wasn't. And then after the shoot, which took about 3/4 of an hour, he took us down to the bar, and we spent the rest of the evening with drinks on his tab. And he was ignoring phone calls to go to various parties and things, which was interesting, and just hung around with us for the rest of the night. God knows what his bar tab would have been.
That's incredible, because you wouldn't expect him to be like that, would you?
No, but a very intelligent, articulate man. And I could have spoken to him for about a week.
Yeah.
Real gent.
I suppose when you're taking photos of people, and forgive me if I'm wrong here, but you do have this bond with them that you kind of have to generate in order to get the best photos out of them.
Yes, I think so. I think if you look at my career overall, I do commercial, I do fashion, but people is my thing. And when I take portraits, I like to do a proper study of them rather than just taking a nice snapshot, if you like. And I like to get behind the fascia, and I want to get into that person's psyche and then try to come up with something between us. I think it's always a joint effort between myself and the sitter to actually get that image onto digital or onto a print or whatever it is, to start creating a narrative so that people look at it and think, okay, I can get something from this image of what that person's all about.
Yeah.
Now, it's not always 100% truth, but as long as we make it interesting, that's a good thing.
How do you kind of go about beginning to do that? Is there a lot of research? So, for example, for Johnny Vegas, would there have been a lot of research beforehand?
No, that was purely for a magazine article. So we had that 45 minutes. With people like that, we can't really get access to them.
45 minutes, is that it?
But to be honest with him, it was easy because he's a performer. There was no problem. With anybody else, I would like to spend some time with them to get to know them better, and then kind of almost discuss a whole plan of how they want to be perceived, with also my perception of what they're like.
Yeah.
And we kind of put it into the mix, and something different and unique and hopefully special comes out every time. And that's the process that I really love. Going back to your original question of what I like about photography, I think that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I try to apply that to a certain extent to my commercial and fashion work, because I like to make images interesting and to create that story if I can.
But I suppose with commercial fashion-wise, you're a little bit more regimented.
We're always restricted by the brief, of course, but that's a different skill, again. Something I like the challenge of, but it's not quite as creative as my portrait work, I don't think.
Okay, Michael, just stay there for me, if you wouldn't mind, because we'll just get some news headlines and come back to you. You're listening to Michael Lau there, who is a photographer based here in Nottingham. Hearing him talk about his love for photography. We'll come back to him in the next few minutes. But it is now 2:30 on BBC Radio Nottingham, and these are your news headlines. David Cameron says he supports moves to promote British values in schools in England. Teachers have condemned the prospect of snap inspections in the country's schools. And British Transport Police are investigating two separate incidents of vandalism on train tracks in Nottingham. So it's quite nice outside at the moment, but there are the risk of a few showers this afternoon. Some of them could be quite heavy. Not quite as bad as yesterday, though. Overnight, the showers will die away, and then tomorrow will be fine, dry and warm. There will be some cloud around. Most places should see some decent breaks of sunshine, though. Highs of 20 degrees Celsius, 68 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, traffic continues to move fairly well in and around Nottingham city centre this Tuesday afternoon. A little bit busier now on the A52 Derby Road, building up nicely now in the usual hot spot, heading from the QMC towards the Priory roundabout, as is the A60 Loughborough Road at the Wilford Lane traffic lights. Now, staying on the A60, a reminder that works have started this week on the Mansfield Road at Woodthorpe, so you'll find stop-go boards in use there to around about 3:30 at the Hawksworth Avenue junction. Those could slow you down, as could the temporary lights in Calverton. Water main works have also started there on the B684 Lime Lane, so you'll find some temporary signals there at the Calverton Road junction to hold you up. Not a bad afternoon around Mansfield. It's all moving nicely, as it is today around Newark. It makes a nice change from yesterday, and it's all flowing fully on both the A42 and the M1. I'm Louisa Allen, and your next travel is just after the news at 3:00.
More at bbc.co.uk/Nottingham.
BBC Radio Nottingham.
So, in the cricket then, let's go to Headingley, where it's day three of the match between Notts and Yorkshire, and Dave Bracegirdle is there.
Yes, Nottinghamshire have just picked up another wicket. Stunning stuff, actually, from Samit Patel. Turn one an absolute mile to bowl the danger man. Aaron Finch, the Australian, had just taken Yorkshire into an overall lead in the match, and then Patel, bowling from the football stand end, got one to pitch round about middle and leg and turn to clip the top of off. A superb delivery. Yorkshire have just forged a lead now, with Rich Pyra going along nicely on 32, Patterson with him on 5. Notts made 205, Yorkshire a lead of 27 at 232 for 8.
Thank you very much, Dave. So, full commentary online if you want it at bbc.co.uk/Nottingham. Otherwise, Dave will have another update on the cricket for you just after the news at 3:00. So we're back with Michael Lau, who's a local photographer, in the next few minutes after this one from Sam Smith and Stay With Me.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at understanding, but I still need love, cause I'm just a man. These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave, will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all self-control. Deep down I know this never works, but you can lay with me so it doesn't hurt. Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all.
Sam Smith, stay with me on BBC Radio Nottingham, 25 minutes to three. Here with Michael Lau at the moment, who is a Nottingham-based photographer. You were hearing just before, published in a UK Vogue and across many newspapers, some of the country's biggest selling newspapers. Michael, you also teach. Is teaching, and forgive me for saying this, but they often say, those who can't, do you know what I mean? Teach. Have you moved into teaching because the other side is falling by the wayside? Or
no. Like I said, I've been teaching school-age people on the work experience programme since we started. It's something that wasn't available to me in little Lincolnshire where I grew up, and I've always wanted to give something back and to help spread it through the generations, if you like. And like I said, someone pointed out to me that the way I can teach a 15-year-old how to use a studio, I should be able to do that to other people. And then I kind of dipped my toe in, and I found I really enjoyed it. So,
oh, did you?
Yeah.
So absolutely. It wasn't a case if you felt as though you needed to do it to kind of allow you to do other more exciting projects?
No, I thought I'd give it a go. But then, do you know what? I found that actually it helped me through seeing through other people's eyes when you're looking through students' work. It kind of revealed a little bit more about me as well as what they were doing. And the more I delved into it, the deeper it got. And I found, actually, over the last 3 years since I started the Academy, I think I've improved as a photographer. I always think you can get better, but I've seen a big step up because I'm kind of seeing many variations of work rather than just trying to see things through my own eyes. I can see it through... I've had 400 students so far. I can see it through 400 separate pairs of eyes. So therefore, I'm getting more of an insight and a bigger overview of what photography is all about. So.
How much can you teach, though, when it comes to photography?
Good question. Technical side, to get somebody off the basics, I can teach in 3 hours.
Okay.
I can teach somebody to go from automatic mode to a manual mode on a camera in 3 hours. I've done that for the past 3 years. That's the tip of the iceberg. In fact, I've just launched the 3-hour challenge on my website to get people to get novices onto that. And the next stage is kind of the rest of your life. I think of photography as a journey. I've developed since I was a 14-year-old for photography, and I think everybody else can. And the fact that we've got unlimited access to publishing our work on social media and the internet, I think, is a massive thing. Back in the days of the Victorians, for example, when photography first started getting big, yes, they could all take pictures, I suppose, but now we can actually do it instantly and actually cover pretty much every aspect of our life, which is interesting.
Doesn't that mean that photography is almost becoming cheaper as a commodity because it's so plentiful?
Yes and no, in a way, but quality photography will always, I think, stand out. Yes, there's a lot more photography about, just like, I suppose, with music over the digital age, but I believe that a good photography will always be head and shoulders above. And I, to be honest, I welcome and embrace that, because I think as long as everybody's taking good photography, I'm happy. And then you're always going to get the guys and girls who are going to be that much better and then pursue it and then... perhaps make a career out of it, or at least have something in their lives that they can express themselves with.
Yeah. You mentioned briefly before about how you were growing up in Lincolnshire, in Sleaford. There's quite an interesting story, isn't there, to do with your family and how Sleaford ended up being home.
Yeah, my family were originally from Hong Kong, and my grandfather, who was head of the clan, if you like, he came over in the late 60s. I think he was on the merchant ships initially.
Okay.
Landed in Liverpool, I believe. Don't hold me to that, because it's all a little bit misty, that bit. But the restaurant that he eventually had in Sleaford was one in a card game.
In a card?
Yeah.
This is amazing. He won a restaurant in a card game.
Something like that. And then he had a business partner who took it up with him, but he did a runner. So my grandfather became the sole head of that business. And then my father came over to help him out in the family business. And a few years later, I was born.
Wow. So a restaurant was won in a bet that then brought your family over here.
Yeah.
Wow. And were you not tempted to go into the restaurant business then, if that was kind of in the family line?
Not really. I've always, like I said before, since I was 14, I always wanted to be a photographer. Yeah. My mum's always telling me that if this doesn't work out, I can always open a restaurant, because apparently I'm not too bad at cooking. But no, it's not It's not for me.
Yeah, you didn't get lots of get yourself a proper job. Which is,
I did actually, but not from not from my mum. She's always been really supportive, as have the rest of my family actually. But I think even going through the college stage, people were always saying it's such a competitive and difficult thing to get into. But I guess that's my point. You don't have to do it as a job to be a photographer. You can be a photographer anyhow you want. Yeah. It can be really personal, or it could be something you turn into a business. I've got, amongst my students, I've got people in all those categories, people who've just started up their own studios, and people who are kind of exploring life through photography, both of which are valid. And I encourage all types.
Yeah. Well, great stuff. Thank you so much for popping in.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely fascinating. Michael Lowther, and happy birthday as well.
Thank you.
Birthday. Michael Lowther is a photographer based in Nottingham, celebrating 3 years of his teaching studio, teaching people how to take photos properly. So it's now coming up to 3:15 on this Tuesday afternoon. Hits and Headlines is on the way in the next few minutes. Your opportunity to guess the year this afternoon.